Genesis chapter 10. I'm going to read a portion out of chapter 10 and then a little bit out of chapter 11. Let's stand as we read the word today, please. Genesis chapter 10, beginning verse 8 through 10. And Cush begat Nimrod. Nimrod's name's only mentioned a couple or three times in Scripture. Nimrod is a prototype of the Antichrist. Not much said about him, but a very, very powerful, very, very evil and wicked man. Verse 9. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Nazareth, Erech, and Akkad, and Calna in the land of Shinar. Now look at chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. The whole earth was of one language, one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Nothing shall be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down there, confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth, which is what God told them to do to begin with. Our Father, we thank you for giving us Scripture. We know it's inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. It's to give us direction and wisdom, guidance in our lives. Help us to learn from it today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tower of Babel was a modern marvel at that time. Nimrod was the leader of this, and Nimrod is the antithesis of everything that's good and proper that's God. And Nimrod's just the opposite. I've heard a couple messages on Nimrod, and there's a lot in Scripture that can be talked about on him. But the message today is not necessarily about Nimrod per se, but the Tower of Babel. It was a modern marvel. I think you could say that the Tower of Babel at its time was our Twin Towers. And been much said about that. We're just a couple years away from it now. All of these monuments that are being built to the glory of man. And the Bible says men are ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Now the Tower of Babel was probably the center of all hub of all activity back then with the people. And I've seen pictures, different pictures, but it seems the predominant thought is that the Tower of Babel was a spiral. And it sort of had a walkway going around with rooms in it, and it just kept going up. And it got to the top, started another spiral at the bottom, and it just seemed to keep going up. And they said, let us build a tower that we can reach unto God. Pretty foolish, huh? But it was not meant to help men find God. It was a monument to man's achievement in the modern architecture of the time. And it was Nimrod, the antithesis of what Christ is, doing what he can, everything against God. God said to spread, multiply, and replenish the earth. Nimrod tried to keep them all together. Control. The devil likes to control, doesn't he? Boy, it's awful hard sometimes not to give in to him. Now, I know y'all don't have that problem. But I want to take off on this thought today, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. Ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of truth. And we're living in a day and age right now, there's knowledge on all sides. I mean, when I started doing this 30 years ago, I used a slide projector. My slides were little cartoon characters. And I've evolved from that up to a video projector with, it's a glorified slide presentation is what it is. But I mean, I could go in and alter that. You know, before I had my slides and I was bound by that. On this, if you notice, I had a picture of the church. Every church I go to, got a digital camera, and I take a picture of the church, put it in, change the name, put the church name in there, and it's all personalized. Some of the pictures that I have on there, I get kind of tired of using them, or I want something new. I just delete one, add another. My goodness, man, that's a great thing to have. It can be used for good or it can be used for bad. But it's great to have. The old computer I used this morning was my old one. It took me 15 minutes to do my new laptop. The hard drive went down. I can do in 15 seconds what it took me 15 minutes to do this morning getting this one set up. I didn't know if I was going to have it on time or not. But modern knowledge, ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Stop and think of all the knowledge that's in the world today. And it's growing by leaps and bounds. Okay? Think about this. All that God knows is knowledge. And within what God allows, there is no end to man's attaining knowledge. I mean, when you look at this, if a man can conceive it, it can probably be achieved. Genesis 11:6, as I was reading through there, I made the comment, now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Now some of us that are older remember the old Flash Gordon comic books and the TV. By today's standards, that is antiquated. In reality, look at where we have come in the last couple generations. Connie and I talk about this with her folks, where they came from to where we're at today, and some of the things. But we came from the horse and buggy. Came from the horse, actually. Then to the horse and buggy. Man, what an achievement. You didn't have to sit on that horseback and bounce up and down. You could sit in that buggy and bounce up and down. But you could put a cushioned seat on that buggy. To the horse and buggy. Then to cars. We had crank cars. Now, you kids don't remember that when you had to go out and crank the old car to get it started. I've seen some. I never owned one, but I've seen some of them. You had to crank them. We had tractors that you used to have to crank to get them going. From crank starters to electric starters, my, what an advancement. And here we are today. Now we got the remote control starters. Do you know that during wintertime you look out and your windows are all frosted up and 2 or 3 inches of snow, you just punch that button. Now, inside the house, still in your pajamas, that car starts. Think of your car. See, cars from a generation ago, you couldn't have done that with the choke and the carburetor and things. Now they're fuel injected. You don't have to worry about it dying. I used to run out, start my car and run back in, but I'd always have to run to the window and make sure you still see the smoke coming out the back because you didn't want it to die on you. And then very likely it would die. But fuel injection, they don't die on you anymore. I mean, you turn that thing on, it'll run until it's out of gas. And we've come from that. Ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. In our homes, think about this. We've come from outdoor non-plumbing to indoor plumbing. Most of you kids, again, have no idea what that is to go out in the wintertime, walk out through the snow to that second home that my dad owned in the backyard. Okay. You don't understand that. Now, when I moved to Shelburne from Terre Haute, my dad, I guess, was kind of rich. We had, I remember in our kitchen, we had an indoor pump. You know, a lot of people had to walk outside to pump. We had one right there in our kitchen sink. Okay, that was our plumbing. Now we've gone from that, and I remember we had a well out in the pasture, and Dad ran the line, oh, probably 300 feet from that well, had the electric pump down there, ran the water, and we had running water. And then he put the indoor bathroom and the hot water heater and take baths back then, and warm water and just enjoy it, ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of truth. What about heating and air conditioning? Came from the old fire, just fire, putting logs on the fire, to the fireplaces, nice indoors, so you could heat the inside of the house. Some of you kids don't know it. My wife's got one of these. I don't know where it is right now. It's a bed warmer. You know what a bed warmer is? It had a long handle on it, had a little pot on the end of it. You put hot coals in it, and you put it under the blanket, I guess, and sort of ran it back and forth to heat the sheets. And I don't know if you threw it out the window or what, but man, you jumped in bed before those sheets got cold. See, ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Then we had indoor fireplaces. Connie had a potbelly stove. I remember she talked about when high school used to come home after school and put her chair up close to it and prop her feet up over the chair. And that potbelly stove, the heat coming off of it felt so good. In our house, we were the elite. We had a furnace down the basement. After supper in the living room, we had the register there right over the top of the furnace. And I remember it was always a rush after supper to see who got in there, got to sit right over that. Sometimes you didn't want to set over it, because right after you stoked the fire, you could look down there and you could see the metal turning red. And you sit on that very long and you'd be cooked for dinner. Ever learning but never coming knowledge of truth. We had a stoker. Now the stoker was nice. You didn't have to go down and put coal in it all the time. It had a big bin. We put coal in the bin, and it had a little corkscrew thing on it that would run the coal into the furnace, and then it would heat the whole house. But have you ever heard the old saying, trash in, trash out? Coal in, clinkers out, in the basement. And I was the clinker carrier up the stairs and out in the driveway and dump them out. Those things got awful heavy. Ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Then we went to the gas furnace, the electric furnace, and all the stuff that we have today. Ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of truth. What about aerospace from the Wright brothers? They weren't the first people had actually thought about it and started it, but they were the first ones to do it. Came from their old biplane up to the prop planes, to the jet planes, to rockets with monkeys, now rockets with men, then men to the moon, and now we're sending rockets beyond Mars and all the planets. Ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of truth. Men are living in outer space already. The Mir, Russian space station. There's an idea to colonize outer space someday. We'll be living up there in the Twilight Zone. I'm not going. My ticket's already reserved in the rapture, and I'll wave at them as I go by. Y'all saw that Twilight Zone, didn't you, where they were taking men to outer space, and one of the men found their cookbook, and their cookbook was for humans. They wanted to take everybody, they'd go, I'm not going. Office equipment. I've been doing this work now and using office equipment for a long time. Think about this. We came from the pen and quill to the old type typewriter, to the electric typewriter. Remember this electric typewriter that came out, and what a great thing that was. The carriage didn't move, that little ball moved back and forth. And for copies, you use carbon paper, and you just put it in, you put two sheets of paper in, and everything you wanted to keep a copy of back then, you used the carbon paper on it. From that to word processors, with disk, the first word processor that I used, Pastor, had a disk in it. When it said floppy disk, it was an Olivetti TES-401. It had a floppy disk about that big around. There was nothing but a floppy disk. It had no cover on it. It was just that little plastic thing. You stuck it in. It took me a long time to learn how to save. I lost document after. I didn't know what save meant. Everything I've learned on here has been by hunt and peck and trial and error. And I'd lose 20 pages of documents at a time and have to start all over again. Then come up now, we got word processors and computers with colored printers and everything. So I got my sermons printed in color today. Ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Men are doing that. Now, not all of us, fortunately. Some of us have come to the knowledge of truth. But I'm talking about generally, overall. Men are ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Knowledge apart from God's will lead to destruction every time. I do not care how sophisticated man gets. If he doesn't know God, it's all for naught. There's not a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's all for naught. Now let's compare the Tower of Babel as we think back. That was man's great accomplishment for that time. We had the Twin Towers today, and on the History Channel, I like to watch that a lot. I've seen the history. Do you realize that when the Empire State Building was being built, there was another one being built not too far away in New York, and both of these guys were attempting to build the biggest building, tallest, in New York. And the one on the new Empire State Building had that final tower hidden inside the building that nobody else knew about. And when they both got up there, the other one, the building, is actually a little bit taller than just the building, but they popped that thing right out of the top of the Empire State Building and made it the tallest structure in the United States. Ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Okay, the Tower of Babel, number one, it was a great accomplishment, was the works of man's hands, but it was grievous to God. It wasn't God's will that they build up, it was God's will that they spread out. Nimrod did just the opposite of what God wanted. He wanted the works of man, self-glorification. A lot of work that's done in the name of Christianity today and throughout the ages has a Christian flair about it, but it's to man's honor and glory. And that's why we've got to be very careful. And I thank God we got a pastor that warns us about that week after week after week. Whatever we do, only what we do for God amounts to anything. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by works of the law, for the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It's not man's works that's going to get him to God. You can work from now till the kingdom comes and you'll not be one step closer to God. You can join every church in town and across the country. You'll not be one step closer to Christ, closer to God. Jesus Christ is the only way to have a relationship with God. He's that mediator between God and man. And it's not meant to be any other way. Everything that's built, everything that's tried, apart from that, is of no avail. Romans 4:1-5. What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. God's debtor to no man. Amen? Amen. You cannot do enough to be in debt to God. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted unto him for righteousness. God just wants us to be obedient. Not strive in the flesh, but just believe his word. Take him at his word. And it's so much easier and so much simpler to do it that way. Nimrod wanted to build the tower. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, it saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, think again back about this. The Tower of Babel was a great accomplishment. It was the work of man's hands. Connie and I just came back from Ireland. One of the advantages of me traveling, my bonus miles, we use that for our vacation, so we get free airfare to go on our vacation. And we were fortunate enough to be able to go to Dublin. We went down to a little town called Cove. Cove was the last town, last port of stop of the Titanic. The Titanic was advertised as the ship that God couldn't sink. Now, I don't know who put that out. I, in the back of my mind, I think the owners did, but it could have been something that just got in the newspapers or whatever it was. But the ship that God couldn't sink, I don't think I would have got on that ship if it was the only hope I had in life. It wasn't the iceberg that sunk that ship. Amen? Now, I don't know that for sure. God can do what he does with what he does. But I know this, we better not flaunt anything in the face of God. It was a great accomplishment, but not before God. Number two, showed unlimited imagination. And we're in that today. I mean, man, when you look at things that are being done today, if man can imagine it, he can achieve it. Amen? But it's unacceptable to God. They were trying to reach God. Man has always wanted to elevate themselves to God. But John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I don't care if you could build an elevator that just popped out of the top of the building and kept going and going and going and going, just like a rocket ship, going and going and going. And when the Russian, Yuri Gagarin or whatever his name was, went up in the Russian rocket ship up there, said, there's no God up there. I didn't see God. Well, let's put it where it is. God saw him. God knew him before he ever came out of his mother's womb. For a man to make a foolish statement like that, 2 Timothy 2:3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. You see, a lot of what's being taught around the country today and on TV is totally unacceptable to God because it's contrary to God's Word. Oh, a lot of it sounds good and has a tremendous message to it, but when you analyze it by God's Word, it's just not true. Doesn't make any difference how good it sounds. It's just not true. Number three. Tower of Babel had an outward beauty. At the time, I doubt that there was anything in this world to compare to the Tower of Babel. It was an accomplishment that had never been reached before. And isn't that what it is today? Everything on TV, every company has got to one-up another company. And I get kind of aggravated at it. There's no such thing as a status quo. And I realize that men ought to be reaching and striving. But I get sick of it sometimes. Because most people that are striving to go higher, what they do often, instead of achieving anything better, is to put someone else down and destroy. The worst thing that teased me off about TV advertisements, well, there's a bunch of things that teased me off about it. But when they started letting companies by name compare each other. You know, if you got a product, put it on the market and tout its benefits. If you build a better mousetrap, somebody will buy it. Amen? And if you don't, you ought to go out of business. That's free. You don't have to pay for that. Okay. Had outward beauty, but was an inward blight on the people. Now, blight, that's a word we don't use very often, but we just heard it over in Ireland, so I made it part of my message. But when the people left Ireland, the immigration, the reason that all the Irish people came to America back when they had the famine, the reason they had the famine, they raised potatoes. That was their major source of finances. And there was a blight on the potatoes. And they had famine throughout the nation. They had no other source of income. And that's why so many of them got on the boats coming. And we saw one of the boats, the Dumbrody, that people come across on. And in the first class cabin, no, it wasn't, it was the lower level. They had about, it had a bed thing on it, just a mattress, and was maybe 6 feet wide and about 4 foot deep on it. And they said as many as 6 or 8 people shared that space coming across for all those months. I assume you probably had to sleep in shifts. And if you were coming across as a single person, you slept with whoever they put you with in the same thing and what it was. But the blight, you see, it was an outward beauty to look at, but it was an inward blight. Matthew 23, beginning at verse 24, says, "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat, swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." That's why you need wisdom of God, and you need to have the knowledge of God's word. You know, and when you hear a preacher, I don't care if it's me or the pastor or Jerry, or if you're at another church, you compare everything by scripture. If it doesn't match up to the scripture, it's wrong, no matter how good it sounds. Such are those trying to find God by any other way than His Son, Jesus Christ. I don't know if I told this before or not, but the first church that I worked at, I was out on visitation one day, knocking on doors. A little old lady came to the door. I said, "I'm Joe Asbury from Heather Hills Baptist Church. We're visiting the neighborhood. I'd like to invite you to come visit our church." She said, "I'm a Methodist." Well, I began to talk to her, trying to find out whether she was saved or not. I don't think she was. She finally came back to me as I was trying to get her to do something. She said, "Young man, I was born a Methodist. I was raised a Methodist. And if I die and go to hell, I'll go as a Methodist." And I thought to myself, "You certainly will." With an attitude like that, she had no idea what salvation's all about. She was a church member. Probably had been longer than I'd been alive. But she didn't know anything about it. Trying to find God in your own way is not the answer. It's the God of heaven seeking you through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. We got what we deserved, every one of us, to be dead and in hell right now. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. There's none that pleaseth God. There's none that seeketh God. But when the Holy Spirit starts drawing us unto Christ and we learn of Christ, that's what salvation is all about. Now listen to this. Whether it's the Pope, the preacher, the philosopher, or the fool, if they're not true to God's word, they're all fools. Not all that you hear preached from pulpits is God's word. Number four, it was an upward advancement. They were building upward. They were going up in the skies. And men are still going in the skies. Now, I believe it was your favorite Oliver B. Green that wrote a book one time. I've been told, I've never seen it, why men would never reach the moon. And they did before he died. Now, I've heard that. I don't know if it's true or not. But I agree with him. I don't think man has any business up there. People during Tower of Babel didn't. I don't think we do. I don't care what kind of technological advancements we learn from it. I don't care if they learn how to save millions of lives or whatever they do. I just don't think it's God's will for us to be up in outer space yet. He's got a method for us to be there. We'll not need a rocket ship. We'll not need the masks and the suits and everything else. We're going to have a suit. It's called a glorified body. And we're going to receive it when that trumpet sounds and he says, come up hither. In the twinkling of an eye, we're going to go. Amen? And that's what you want to be ready for. Don't go out and buy your ticket yet for the rocket ship. Make sure you're prepared for the coming of the Lord. It was an upward advancement, but it did not cause God's people to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's a lot of activity in Christianity today that does not cause God's children to grow, but rather hampers their spiritual welfare. John 13, 10, 11, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but he is clean every whit. In other words, if you're saved, you're saved and you're forgiven. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. You see, Judas was part of the in crowd. He had all the looks that it took to be an apostle. Had all the credentials. Was called of the Lord. Was part of the 12. Was in even at the upper room at the Last Supper. I mean, he had it all and he looked like he was right there. But he was lost as lost can be. And as you see things today, one of the things that made me think about this, have you ever seen any of these advertisements on TV about families having problems? And it really appears to be a great advertisement until you get to the byline on it. Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints. Pastor, I wish we could produce those and put Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It has a tremendous message, but it's to lead people down the aisles of destruction. Looks good, sounds good. Some of these TV things that are on, over the years, I'll find myself listening to some of them, and some of them come on there and preach a good message. And you almost begin to think, man, they're really halfway straight. I mean, it seems like they're really trying to get people saved. And then they turn around and do some of this blessed idiotic stuff with the hee-hawing people up here on the pulpit and laughing, revivals of laughing. And people flock in by the gross to come in and be a part of that. Listen, if all I want to do is laugh and feel good, I'll get out my Laurel and Hardy movies. And they do exactly the same thing for me. Some of the movies I see, you see, one of the advantages of getting older, when you watch something the second time, just like watching it again the first time. And some of the movies, I love my favorite movie of all time was Mad World. And I'm telling you, Connie saw it first and then went back and I laughed at that thing. And some of the movies that I watch, I don't watch very many, but some of them that I watch are usually comics like that. And they make me feel good. But I laugh just like those people did up here, except I don't get down the floor and wallow around doing it. But I come out with just as much as what they came out with. You see, not all that is called true religion is true religion. You got to be selective. TV evangelism, please, please be very selective. Not all who come to your door have your best interest at heart. They say they do. They say they're trying to bring people into the fold, but they're twofold more, tenfold more. What's the verse? I lost it now. child of hell, taking them away from it. Be very selective. The Bible talks about not even bidding them Godspeed. People come knock on your door. And it doesn't have anything to do with you not knowing how to talk to them. Listen, I'm a preacher, and I can debate with them. And I have debated with some of them through the screen door and out in the front yard. And the ones I debated were the ladies that said, well, I can't answer that. We'll have to have some of the men come back and they can straighten you out. I said, send them on. They never came back. You see, I know what the Bible says. Not all who come to your door have your best interest heart. If it is not true to God's word, it is out of the pits of hell, and you need to be able to know the difference. James 1, 5 through 8 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know what that means? If you want to know God's word and have the wisdom to know truth from fakery, it's not just praying, say, Lord, give me wisdom. See, it's sort of like if your TV goes out. Remember the old ones that used to have tubes in it? Say, Lord, my TV went out. Give me wisdom to fix my TV. Listen, if I opened anything like that, may as well go out and buy a new one. I can pray and ask for wisdom to fix, or your car, or whatever it is, refrigerator. I'm not very mechanically inclined when it comes to stuff like that. That's why you hire people to come in and know what they're doing. But you can pray and ask for wisdom from now until the Lord comes, and you'll not know one more thing about fixing that refrigerator. You can pray and ask for wisdom, but if you're not willing to put a little bit of work, a little bit of effort into finding out what is right and what is wrong, you're praying for naught. You say, oh, I've prayed and prayed and prayed and asked God. But what have you done as far as the scriptures concerned? This is God's wisdom. This is how he imparts wisdom. It's not a zap on the temple and all of a sudden, zap, you've got it. It's in his word. And you want to know what's right and what's wrong, it's in here. You want to know how to go to heaven, it's in here. It's not in the church, it's not in the TV ads. Some of them can be great things, but it's God's word. If you lack wisdom, ask of God, giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, but the way he does it is to make you a student of his word. Now in conclusion, Tower of Babel was a great, great event. But it wasn't God's plan. Matthew 26, verse 24 to 26. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I don't know what you're striving for in this life. Wealth, fame, notoriety, good looks. A lot of us lost out on that a long time ago. But I can tell you one thing you ought to strive for, and that's to do God's will. To be in the center of God's will. If you're here today and you're not 100% sure that if you would die right now, that you'd go to heaven, you can know that today. It's in God's word. And God will impart that wisdom to you like he did to me November 1966. I'd prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed many times for God to forgive me. But it wasn't until the preacher took the Bible and opened the Bible, showed me from God's word that when I prayed and asked Christ to save me, that he would actually do it. I want you to know that night, Tuesday night, my life changed overnight. The next day, I was a different person. You can be that way today. If you've been struggling, today's the day to come and ask God for the wisdom of salvation and knowing what it is. You can be 100% sure. We as Baptists, we're not cocky when we say that. We're not boastful. Because if there's any good in us, it only comes from God. How many times have you heard that from this pulpit? About 100 million times. None of us in here deserve what we have. It's only by God's grace that it can be imparted to every one of us if we will let God do it.